Good morning and welcome back to Nachi. I mean, today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Chof, down at the 24th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu. And this is a very short perek. It only consists of 10 psukim, and it's very specific, very direct, and there's only one thing going on. This is really essentially the vision of the two parts. So let's understand what's going on over here. This actual vision takes place at the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Remember that the three main kings to whom Yirmiyahu prophesizes to is first Yoshiyahu during the reign of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Then there's obviously a small barrier while his son reigns for 3 months and is deposed of. And Yehoyakim, or Eliakim, it takes the throne. And that's the primary time when Yirmiyahu was prophesizing the prophecies of doom to him. And when he is exiled and his son Yechoniah is exiled 3 months later, he enters the time of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is Mataniah, the son of Yoshiyahu, where the Babylonians try to wind back the clock to the times before the Assyrian-Egyptian alliance by putting Mataniah or Tzidkiyahu on the throne. And that's what they're trying to do. Tzidkiyahu, this is now Yirmiyahu's debut, so to speak, or his new mission in the times of Tzidkiyahu. So here's what goes on this parak. Very short, very succinct, very clear. Hashem shows him, Hirani Hashem v'hine shnei duda'ei te'enim Mu'adim lifnei heichal Hashem. I see two duda'i, which most of the foreigners say are pots or perhaps baskets of figs, which are sitting or specially set aside in front of the temple of Hashem. And they are after the galus of Nebuchadnezzar, who took Yechoniah, the son of Yoyakim, and the Sarei Yehuda, the princes of Yehuda, the Charash v'Masker from Yerushalayim, and brought them to Bavel. And in the one are these beautiful, delectable ta'enim, the first of these figs, and the other pot contains these terrible, inedible, bitter figs. And Hashem says, what are you seeing? And Yirmiyahu says, I see good figs, I see bad figs, and they're sitting in front of the Heichal Hashem. So Hashem explains to him, and he says, well, there's two groups of people. The first group of people are those who are taken from with Yechoniah to Bavel, the 10,000 odd people who are taken from Yerushalayim to Bavel. Well, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to promise you that I'm going to bring them back from this land. I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to replant them, and I'm going to allow them to come back to the land of Israel. Ki yashuvu elai b'chol libam, because they're going to return to me with all their heart. That's the first pot of figs. But there's a second pot. V'chata'enim hara'ois, like the bad figs, those are going to be people who stay with Tzidkiyahu HaMelech and fight against the Babylonians. And they the ones who live in Egypt and have an alliance to Egypt, I'm going to make them they're going to be this terrible wailing cry to everybody. They're going to be a curse. Everybody will talk about them. I'm going to send against them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, until they're completely eradicated from the land that I gave them and their fathers. So this is essentially two groups. The group that was already exiled, they're going to return. The group that will be exiled in the times of Tzidkiyahu will be completely decimated. So two different roles over here. Just a few things to think about when looking at this parak. A few points to ponder. First of all, who are this Charash u'Masker? He talks about how the Sarei Yehuda went, these princes of Yehuda went with Yechoniah into exile, the first stage of exile. But he went with the Charash and Masker. So most of the Mefarshei HaPshat say that these are the artisans. These are what are called, you know, the people who, you know, the upper class of producers in society. They were taken away from Yerushalayim, whether that be for military purposes, so they shouldn't have people to fashion them tools of war or defense. That might be one option. But it's interesting that Rashi and a number of other Mefarshim say that taking it away from its Pshat, that these actually may be the Talmidei Chachamim. These are the spiritual leaders who are taken with Yechoniah, and the reason why they're called Masker and Charash is because, as Rashi suggests, their word Charash means to keep quiet, and Sagar means to close. So these are the people, whenever they would speak, everybody's mouths would be closed and they'd be listening. These were the leaders who were taken afterwards. And as we know, that after these people left, there was great anarchy in this particular region, which Tzidkiyahu was not able to quell because he was bankrupt. Very difficult times. So the greatest leaders, including Yechezkel and Mordechai, were people taken from Yerushalayim to Bavel at this point in time. Just to appreciate sort of the significance of the agricultural perspective over here, and that is that the Chida, Rav Azulai on his Pirush on Tanakh called the Chomas Anach, suggests that what's being suggested over here is, why is it baskets? Just the word Duda'e, not to be confused with the Duda'im of Ruvain in Sefer Bereishis. Duda'im, as the Mefarshim point out, is probably the word Dud, which means a pot with an extra aleph, like the Radak suggests. But the Michida says that it might mean actually a basket. And when you think about, you know, the first fruit in a basket, the image that's being conjured up over here is Bikurim, the first fruit which are brought by the farmers to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's been happening over here, and of course Yirmiyahu as a Kohen is going to be extra sensitive to this, to knowing that the role of the Kohen, this fruit would be given to the Kohen. And Yirmiyahu is giving this image of the Bikurim, and it sounds like one set of Bikurim is returning to the house of Hashem and is being accepted, and one is not being accepted. So the Mashal itself, the very parable, is very much connected to this return to the Beis HaMikdash. And of course the Bikurim elicit from us a sense of history, of coming from the land of Egypt into the land of Israel, and finally arriving at this moment where the sacrifice could be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we're saying that only certain people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, are going to be worthy of that connection to the historical past, as opposed to others. It seems to be that this seems to be Yirmiyahu's mission from now on inwards, is to tell Tzidkiyahu that if you don't agree with Bavel, if you don't make yourself subsidiary to them and pay their taxes, you are going to have utter decimation, unlike those who went in the times of Yechoniah. Which, by the way, puts things in perspective. So Yirmiyahu's mission has now shifted. The first row of exile, the first tide has already come. He's saying the second tide is much worse. That's what Yirmiyahu seems to be saying over here to those inhabitants. Please listen. That's what he's begging from them. It also, the perspective it also gives to one is to think that, you know, sometimes you think it's really bad. Imagine you're living at this time, you say, woe upon us, look how many good people went. So Yirmiyahu is saying, yeah, it's bad that they went, but ultimately they will return. If you carry on behaving like you do, you will go and you won't return. You'll be killed. That's a much, just to put things in perspective, the way we look at history. Last point just to ponder, and that there is a hidden blessing in this prophecy as well. And that is, if you look at Pasuk Zion, where he says, "Venosati lohem lev lodas oisi ki ani Hashem," those who are going to return, the first row of exile who are returning, I'll give them a heart to know me. "Vayuli la'am anochi eyelo lohem lelokim," I'll be a God to them as they'll be to me as a people. "Ki yashuvu elai b'chol libam," because they will return with all their hearts. So the Chiddush says there's a veiled reference to over here, to the future, where at the times of Haman, when there's a decree of genocide against the entire Jewish nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if they return to me with all their hearts, then I will guarantee they won't be wiped out. So there's a veiled reference to a future time and the promise that the Jewish people will never, in fact, be wiped out. Am Yisrael Chai, Od Avinu Chai, as what Yirmiyahu is essentially saying. Bezras Hashem, we should be able to watch that in our Golus as well. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.